last verses in the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. I want to read verses 35 through 41. The same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." When they had sent away the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. And he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "What kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, we saw the need to respect small beginnings. We never know what will grow from the smallest seeds. The church began with one, and it's to ultimately include all the world. When we come to look at this passage tonight, I want to look at a couple of items before we get to the central message. First, Jesus' statement, "Let us go across to the other side." It seemed that Jesus had a certain restlessness in his life. He was ever on the move. He could have spent his entire life in Nazareth as a carpenter, but he had to be about his Father's business. He could have spent his time in one place, but he moved on to different towns and different people. And I have to ask myself, I ask you, are we too content with things as they are? Are we ready to follow him when he says to let us cross over to the other side? Whether the other side is across the street, across the state, or across the world, are we ready at his urging to go? Second, we see Jesus sending the crowd away to go to a new place. Jesus had the ability to attract a crowd. He also had the ability to send the crowd away or to go away from the crowd. His sense of worth did not depend on the presence of a crowd, but his sense of worth was in his doing the will of his Heavenly Father. Do we have the strength to leave the crowd if we believe that God is calling us into another way of service? Just a couple of things to think about. But we look now at two questions with a command placed between them. First, the disciples asked Jesus, "Do you care or do you not care if we perish?" And this was a perfectly natural reaction. I've never been much for boats and water. On the ship coming home from Korea, if the water got much rougher than it gets in the bathtub, I begin to get seasick. I'm just not much for it. I don't know what in the world I'd have done if a major storm had arisen with me on that ship. And here, in the midst of a violent storm, the disciples begin to panic. They were frightened. They were afraid for their lives. And they awoke Jesus in his sleep, from his sleep. And they wanted to know if he cared. "Do you not care if we perish? Are you going to do anything to save us?" Now, you and I do have storms in our life. And we may never be caught in a literal storm on some lake or ocean. But we all have our storms. Maybe a storm of anxiety. We easily worry about ourselves, our health, our age, our job. We worry about the unknown future. We worry, will the economy fail? We worry, nowadays it seems more than ever, if the price of gasoline and everything else is just going to keep going higher and higher. What does the future hold? We worry about those that we love. Our parents, if they're still with us, our children, our spouses, our friends, we worry. In the midst of our storms of anxiety, we want to know, does Jesus care? Often life's problems involve us in a tempest of doubt and tension and uncertainty. There comes a time when we do not know what we should do. When we stand at some crossroads in life and we don't know which way to take. In the midst of our problems, the question, does Jesus care? To all of us, sooner or late comes the time of sorrow, the storm that rolls upon us. Death enters into our lives, and the person who is near and dearer than life itself is taken from us. And when our heart is broken, and the sun has gone out of the sky, and it seems that it will never shine again, when sorrows like sea billows roll, does Jesus care? Master, don't you care that we perish? In the midst of our storm, does Jesus care? Second, Jesus awoke and he spoke to the storm, "Peace, be still." Or as Goodspeed translated it, he simply said, "Hush, be silent." The command of Jesus, and following the command, there was a great calm. Now, if this was only a one-time happening from long ago on a sea in Israel, it would be a beautiful story. But if we see it, I think as we should, it has far more meaning for us. It speaks to me of God's ability to speak to any storm that comes upon us, any storm that threatens to overwhelm us, and to speak and to bring about a great calm in our lives. It speaks to me in the words that we know so well, that he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand. In the midst of our storm, when it seems that we will surely perish, if we look, he is there, and he speaks the words to us as well as to the storm. Peace. Peace, be still. What difference the presence of the right individual makes. What peace and comfort the right person can bring. A child has a bad dream, wakes up in the middle of the night, frightened and crying. The mother comes in and turns on the light and takes the child into her arms. And peace and calm come immediately. And soon the child is back asleep in peace. Or fire breaks out in our home and there's panic, and then a fireman comes and takes control, and there's peace, and there's calm. Or there's an accident on the highway, and people are injured, and panic reigns, and then the paramedics arrive, or a doctor steps out of the crowd and takes charge. Everything is changed when a person that's in control can take control and bring peace. In the midst of our storms, we cry, "Jesus, do you care?" And then he speaks a word, and we know, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by our grief. When we are sure of his care, when we are sure of his presence, that he does have the whole world in his hand, then there's peace, there's a calm, even in the midst of the storm. Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And he said, "Peace, be still," and there was a great calm. And then he turned to them, and he said, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" For some period of time, the disciples had been with Jesus. We don't know how long they'd been with him at this time. Something less than 3 years, but quite a while. They had listened to his teaching. They had witnessed his miracles of various kinds. They left everything they had to follow him. They believed in him that strongly. And with all the evidence they had of his caring and his power, it might seem strange that they should panic when the storm arose. We tend to ask them with Jesus, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" But before we become too hard on the disciples, perhaps we should ask ourselves, "Why are you so fearful? Have you no faith?" By this time, the disciples have been followers of Jesus a matter of months, don't know how long. But you and I, most of us, have been followers for years. We've almost 2,000 years of history with the testimony of multitudes of millions across the century as to His care, His faithfulness, His provision for every need of life. Why are we so fearful? Why are we so faithless? Why do we worry and fret? Why are we afraid to rely fully on living as Jesus taught us to live? Live by the words that He gave us, the methods that He gave us. Why are we afraid to do unto others as we would have them do unto us? Why are we afraid to love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Why are we afraid to love our enemies? To do good to those that persecute us? To pray for those who despitefully use us? Why are we afraid to love one another? The selfish, selfless, the selfless, caring, sacrificial love like Jesus loved. Why are we afraid to act with confidence, knowing that God's infinite resources are on the side of love? Why do we worry and fret about the future instead of living well with God today? This is the only day we got. Live well in this day. Live well in this day with God and entrust the future into God's hands. I know what it is to borrow trouble from the future. It's foolish and futile and utterly useless. Jesus knew what He was saying when He said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Don't worry about tomorrow. The song has it, "I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow." Trust God for the future. Jesus has revealed to us a Heavenly Father whose love never causes His children a needless tear, and who is so loving that we nor those we love can ever drift beyond His love and care. Wherever we go, He's there with us. Whether our loved ones, wherever they go, He's there with them. And He cares. He cares. I wonder sometimes, is our lack of faith caused because we rate the seen above the unseen, the temporary above that which is permanent, the partial above the whole? I simply counsel you tonight to look to Jesus. He is with you in the midst of your storm, whatever it is. He is love, and He will provide for every need of yours. Be not faithless, but believe. Amen. Lord God, we thank You that we have the deep assurance that You're with us in the midst of all of our storms. And we look to You, You will speak peace to the storm and peace to our own soul. And we can live in the confidence that You're with us, You love us, and You will provide for all of our tomorrows. And we thank You and praise You for this. In Jesus' name.